ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానంజన శలాఖయ చక్షుర్ ఉన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభిష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప గదామహం తదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. సో లెట్స్ రిసైట్ ది స్టాండర్డ్ వర్సెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ రిసైటెడ్ అట్ ది బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. ఐ సీక్ ది బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అసెంబ్లీ వైష్ణవాస్ and let's get started. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. So chapter 15, it basically talks about how Arjuna, once he comes back from visiting his dear friend, or attempting to visit his dear friend in the Dwaraka Kshetra, and he comes back and he is reciting or he is relating his experiences to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then he recalls how wonderful times, he doesn't say actually that Krishna departed this world, that he went back to his abode in Goloka Vrindavan. He basically recalls various pastimes that he, or experiences he had with Arjuna or with Krishna. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj comes to the conclusion that Krishna has actually departed. So he doesn't directly say. So far, Arjuna has a strong feeling of separation from Krishna. He remembers Lord Krishna, his well wishes, his benefactions, intimate familial relations, how as a family member he interacted, how he was a well wisher, and how he was his chariot driver during the battle of Kurukshetra. So this incident is happening after the battle of Kurukshetra. So, and then how he was able to vanquish all the lusty princes, he was able to basically counteract Indradev to enable the fire god to do the Khandava Dahanam, and then how the Lord helped him vanquish Jarasandha, who was not an ordinary king by any stretch, and so on, and how his family was saved from the wrath of Durvasa Muni. So last week, Shyamala Mataji basically related that instance. So for the sake of newcomers, I'll just recap. So basically, Durvasa Muni is a very important character in Mahabharata. Due to his blessing, Kunti Devi actually has invoked Sun God and gives birth to Karna and so on. The same Durvasa Muni, under the instigation of Duryodhana, goes to Pandavas, who are in Aranyavasam at that point, to basically instigate them and get them cursed, because Durvasa Muni gets angry very easily. So he goes and says, you go to their home at this particular time and ask for food. So what happens is, due to Daumya Muni's advice, Maharaj Yudhishthir performs some performs some penances to get a pot which is Akshayapatra, means it will give as much as you want, as long as, because there is some history in the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira is going to the forest, he basically pleads to Daumya Muni, a king's duty is to take care of all the Brahmins. Now, I myself don't have a kingdom, how can I take care of all the Brahmins? So Daumya Muni says, you go and you do this, you know, set of penances to please the sun god, please the sun god. So, and sun god will take care of it. So sun god gives this Akshaya Patra, which will give you unlimited number of food. Basically, as long as you are serving, it keeps on coming. Except that when the lady of the house, Draupadi, eats her meal, because the tradition, the Vedic tradition is that the lady of the house eats at the end. After serving all the children, all the elders, all the family members, guests, and then in that order, children, elders, and then she eats. And then if it won't produce any more food for the day, next day again it will produce. So Duryodhana strategically, he says, you go at this particular time. He knows, you know, after all these people have eaten, Draupadi will eat and the dish won't produce anymore. So of course, you know, prime candidate for getting cursed, right? So basically they ask Durvasa Muni and the 10,000 disciples to go and do their Sandhya Vandana at the banks of the river. Which river was that? Saryu River or one of the rivers? So they go there, and so in the meantime, Draupadi prays to Lord Krishna. So Draupadi has that access to Krishna. My Lord, what should I do now? I am in great distress. what is, you know, how can I, first of all, you know, even forget about getting cursed. As a householder, when somebody comes to the home, it is your duty to feed. So even if you don't fulfill that basic obligation, then you are not following the principles of Dharma. So he says, how can I now follow this principle? So Lord Krishna says, okay, don't worry, show me the pot. So he sees the pot, and then he finds a small piece of vegetable or grain sticking to one corner. He takes that and eats it. And that's why we offer the food to the Lord, bhoga, every day, right? When the Lord is pleased, the whole world is pleased. So by the Lord being pleased, Durvas Muni and his 10,000 disciples who are doing their Sandhyavandan near the banks of the river, they all of a sudden feel that their stomachs are full. And they'll say, now let's go from here itself. Otherwise, you know how Bhima is. Bhima will say, okay, eat, 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 and my stomachs are full. So basically they depart from that point itself. Or they may come temporarily, but they basically pretty much avoid eating. So that is the essence of, you know, serving the Lord. Serving the root means once you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything else gets satisfied. So Madhava Seva is Manava Seva. Okay, contrary to popular notion. Right? First you serve the Lord, everything else is served. So then continuing on, Arjuna basically recalls how he had helped devatas using his weapons to kill a demon called Nivatakavacha. So Arjuna's weapons were so powerful. And why were they so powerful? Because of the presence of Krishna. So it's not like he himself was so powerful. This is the key point to note, and we'll continue that in the discussion today. And then how he was able to defeat the invincible military strength of the Kauravas. Arjuna recalls how Krishna withdrew the strength and enthusiasm from the great military phalanx. Phalanx means grouping of the Kauravas. So Kauravas were much more powerful. Just Bhishma alone is more powerful than entire Pandava army. Because Bhishma cannot die, right? He'll keep on killing, killing, killing continuously. And he has all the weapons. He was the one who taught all these fellows, right? All these are his grandkids. So he knows their strengths and weaknesses. So he could have finished all of them. And Bhishma has this boon that he will die only when he wants to die. So there's no question of killing him. But how did it happen? Because Lord Krishna, being on the battlefield, was withdrawing the energies of the opposite side. And he can do that. He's the Paramatma in every soul, right? Paramatma next to every soul. And Arjuna also recalled how he had very lack of esteem. So he used to say, hey, Krishna, what are you doing? No, 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 don't go here, go there. He would treat him as a peer or sometimes as a subordinate. But the Lord, being very merciful, he never said anything, right? He would basically reciprocate at that level. So, you know, he recalls that, you know, how I had very little esteem for, you know, my dear Lord. And then the key point to note from all of this is, if Krishna wants to protect someone, right, nobody can harm that individual. And if Krishna wants to finish someone, like he did on the other side, right, he systematically devised a plan to finish each one of the members on the opposite party. If you look at the story, how Jarasandha was killed, Jarasandha cannot easily be killed. How Bhishma was, no, not killed per se, but made powerless in that situation at that point. So better to be on Krishna's side. That is the message. So that is just the recap. Now let's go through verse by verse. Namani udara ruchi rasmita shobitani he partha he archuna sake guru nandaneti sajjalapitani naradeva hridisprasani smarturlutani hridayam mama madhavasya. O king, his jokings and frank talks were pleasing and beautifully decorated with smiles. His addresses unto me as, O son of Pritha, O friend, O son of Kuru dynasty, and all such heartiness are now remembered by me, and thus I am now overwhelmed. So he's basically recalling his dealings with the Lord. Let's read this one also. Sayasanathana vikathana bhojana disva aikyadvaya sarthvaniti vipraladda sakyu sakheva pitravat tanasya sarvam sehe mahan mahitaya kumate ragamme. Generally, both of us used to live together and sleep, sit and loiter together. At the time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry, sometimes, if there was any irregularity, I used to reproach him by saying, my friend, you are very truthful. So he was basically taunting the Lord. Even in those hours when his value was minimized, he, being the Supreme Soul, used to tolerate all those utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or a father excuses his son. So continually the Lord was excusing him. So the examples given here are the true friend excuses his true friend, and the father excuses his son. So some points from the purport. This is from Rompad Maharaj's commentary. So the practical application is, the Krishna and Arjuna are inseparable. Yatra Yogeshwara Partha, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Tatra Partha Dhanudra, Yatra Partha Dhanudra, Tatra Vijaya. I forget that. This is the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita. So that's why it says Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna and Partha. Wherever Krishna and Partha are there, nothing can go wrong. That's the exact purport of that. So Maharaj says that Krishna and Arjuna are inseparable. In the same way, the Jiva and the Lord are also inseparable. So we have to keep that point. All the time we are there. And all the time he is trying to tell us being Paramatma in our heart. And we say, oh, sure, no, I'll do this. In the heart, sometimes you see that, right? You'll get these answers from within. Don't do it. It's not good for you. No, I'll do it. I'll come back and I'll fix it later. Or maybe I'll chant one round of Japa and, overcome that. Which is, by the way, an offense. And also the point to note is, Lord is very merciful. That does not mean we become a burden on him due to improper dealing with other Vaishnavas. So Lord is always pardoning. Doesn't mean that he'll keep on asking for his pardon, right? So, you know, if you meet some devotee and you talk harshly, or when they say something, don't listen to them, or you say something which is inappropriate, Lord is pardoning. But doesn't mean that you keep on doing those things. It is not good for our progress. So the key points in the purport are, Lord Sri Krishna is all perfect. So there are so many verses, whether you take from the Brahma Samhita or Krishna's own statements in the Bhagavad Gita, or from the Isopanishad, Om Purnam Idam Purnam Idam Purnam Purnam Uchate. Know that verse, right? You'll know that very shortly. So his transcendental pastimes with his pure devotees never lack anything in any respect, either as a friend, son or lover. So if you look at all the history, his dealings with Nanda Maharaj or his dealings with Mother Yashoda, they were complete, right? They were fully satisfying to them. His dealing with the gopis, they were complete, they were fully satisfying. His dealing with the Gopa boys or with Sudama or Sudharma. Sudama is one of his devotee and one friend, and Sudharma is his close Gopa friend. They were completely satisfied with everything. So either as a friend, son or a lover. And thereby, the Lord relishes the reproaches of the friends, parents or fiancés more than any Vedic hymns. So, there is one anecdote where the Lord goes to the Brahmanas and the Brahmanas say, you know, we are very busy to do anything for you. And then the Lord goes to his wives, and the wives immediately receive him well. They are very simple-minded folks, right? Cook for him, nicely offer, you know, feed him and so on. So, those simple-minded dealings are much more pleasant to the Lord as opposed to all these complex Vedic hymns. Because these Brahmanas were doing those yajnas to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality comes there, he says, we don't have time for you. Whereas these ladies who didn't know anything, they were actually taking care of him, not worrying so much about the rules and etiquettes and things like that. So in an official fashion, Prabhupada very clearly says, so don't be official, right? So the practical application there is, do not recite verses in official fashion. Just keep on reciting verses, right? It's not going to help anybody. So develop love through practical tips in devotional service. When I was typing, I think I missed that devotional service part. So devotional service is a step-by-step process. It is giving you all the basic steps. Time and again, whether it's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, that cycle, or you know, Anya Vilashita Sunyam, Jnana Karma, Anivritam, Anukulena, Krishna Shilam, Bhakti Ruttama. So, what they say is they are giving you steps and instructions on how to do these things. So, I don't know where everybody else is. So, maybe they got lost. They got lost, they're probably waiting for somewhere else.
Aditi, I told
you.
So that's the thing. Now the steps are given in the devotional service, and if we follow, and again I'll discuss later some of the quotes from His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. The steps are there, and we have to do things according to the Lord's desire. A lot of times we'll say, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll wake up at 7 and do Mangala Arati. But is that what is defined in our scriptures? No, it is not. So we have to do developing that love according to the instructions given, according to the processes that Krishna or his representative are prescribing. So when we say, why his representative, right? Somebody may say, why a guru? Why not I directly deal with Krishna? So if you have a president, President Obama deals with his family members in a particular manner. He'll say, what was his wife's name? Dorothy or somebody like that. He says, okay, why don't you make a cup of tea for me or whatever, right? And now give me some juice or something. So he's also commanding her in a certain sense. Then he's in a direct sense. And then he's commanding his entire country in a different sense. He makes some legislation or in the Congress, and then through his representatives, some things are being given. And the third one, he's also controlling the convicts who are in the jail, but in different sense. So the way he deals with his wife and the way he deals with his population and with his convicts. But still, he's always in that absolute control. So sometimes he uses his representatives to maintain the governance of the country. In the same way, the Lord Krishna has his own representatives. And then following the orders of the representatives is same as following the instructions of the Lord. Let's read together. Soham Ripendra Rahita Purushottamena Sakya Priyena Suhrud Hridayena Sunya Advani Urukrama Parigraha Mangarakshan Gopera Sabdira Baleva Vinirjitosmi. So now Arjuna is speaking to his elder brother, but he doesn't say hey or bye or something like that. He says, oh emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel cowherd men while I was guarding the bodies of the wives of Krishna. So basically, when Lord Krishna is departing this world, he calls Dharuka and he says, Dharuka, you go and tell the rest of the relatives who are there that we are departing. I and Balaram and everybody else is departing. So Dharuka cannot bear it, but he regardless goes and he tells some of the Yadus who are remaining in Pravasa Kshetra. They also give up their life because they cannot bear this news of separation of Krishna or the imminent separation of Krishna. And then a few people the queens of Lord Krishna and a few other close associates, they Arjuna is accompanying them. So while accompanying them is taking them on their journey. So while they were walking or progressing in their journey, a few simple cowherd men come and attack and defeat Arjuna. Now think about Arjuna. Arjuna has the Gandiva bow, which was sought by all the devatas to defend. Arjuna, we talked about in the couple of slides before, he goes against Indra, who is technically his father, right? When he's because of Indra's boon or Indra's amsha, he comes. And he fights against him so that Khandava Dahanam can take place. The Agni fire god can actually devour all these herbs so that he can take care of his digestion in his stomach. So that Arjuna is defeated by a few cowherd boys. Is that possible? So the explanation given in the purport, and this is given by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur after doing some thorough research according to Prabhupada of the Brahma Purana and the Vishnu Purana. One of the other Puranas. So they researched that. And so Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is like this. So once upon a time, there were a set of damsels who were in the heavens. So they pleased one muni called Ashtavakra Muni. Ashtavakra. Vakra means crookedness. So his body is crooked at 8 places. So when you are crooked at 8 places, when you walk, you look like something is moving. So initially they served them very fairly, very, with a lot of devotion, and then the Muni was placed. So Muni gave them a blessing, saying, now you may have the Lord as your husband, which is a very, very great blessing. Okay, and after that, for some reason, and again, by the will of the Lord, ultimately everything happens by the will of the Lord, they could not control their laughter upon seeing the Muni walk. So there's a little picture from a comic book on how the Muni is walking with a lot of deformities. So they laugh, and Muni basically curses them that, you know, you will... What does he curse?
Go to...
No, no, he will say that you will marry Krishna, but...
You will lose contact.
Yes. Somebody will steal.
Somebody will steal you. Okay. So, but then again they apologize and plead and so on. So the Munis are usually, you know, very compassionate. So they say, okay, you'll be rejoined with them. So he has cursed them, but he has minimized the impact of the curse. So devotees of the Lord, even if you have bad karma, our bad karma, it could be like a big thing, like our whole body is getting burnt, and we will be burnt in one small little section. So that is the power of devotional service. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur basically says, in order to keep the words of the great Muni, Krishna himself kidnaps these people. Krishna, because these heavenly dancers, they are so powerful that an ordinary cowherd boy, if they immediately touch, right, they just vanish. They have capacity to relieve themselves. But in order to keep the words of the great Muni, the Lord kidnaps them.
I'll give it to Ricky. Ricky has a project.
Who?
Oh, upstairs.
Does anybody know?
It's a Prabhu.
Only Arun Prabhu.
It is in the room, Mataji, the black bag. Back.
No, not that one. The one on the top.
Top is just you press the controls,
right? No.
I never use it.
Arun Prabhu is there.
Arun knows that, yeah.
Huh?
Arun Prabhu knows that.
Arun perfect.
So basically, the gopis were reunited with the Lord. So the key message is not that the gopis were reunited with the Lord. That was already foretold and foredetermined. But the key point that Prabhupada makes is, we should not become very proud of our capacities. So sometimes you may think, I have this big Gandhi Baba, you know, I am this great book distributor, I am this great writer, I send long emails. But all those powers are coming from the Lord. And if you become proud, you can withdraw at any time. So let's continue on.
Tadvai danusta ishavasarato hayaste soham rati nirta yoyata namati sarvam shanena tadabuddha sadisariktam basman hutam kuhakaradam yubopatamushyam.
I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot by the same horses. So he used the same chariot with the same horses to defeat how many Kauravas? Right? How many people? 80 Rakshonis, something like that. And I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offered their due respect, but in the absence of Lord Krishna. All of them at a moment's notice have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on a barren land. So if your yajna is finished and you put ghee on top of the ashes, there is no effect. You accumulate money by... Can you accumulate money by waving a magic wand? No. And sowing seeds on a barren land, is it possible? Barren means it's not fertile. So it won't yield any result. So all of the capacities that Arjuna has become null and void at a moment's notice. So Lord can give, Lord can withdraw at a short notice. So purport, actually I said key points, but pretty much I put the whole purport in here. So Prabhupada is saying, as we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. Plumes means feathers. So sometimes you take a little hat and you put one yellow feather, one peacock feather, one parrot feather, and dress like Robin Hood and say, I look so good. These are all borrowed feathers, right? They are not your feathers. All the energies and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Krishna, and they act as long as He desires. So as long as He desires, those powers are there and cease to function as soon as He withdraws. all electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying the energy, the bulbs, so for example these light bulbs, if the city of Samanuj doesn't provide us power, right, we just sound energy, we won't have any of those lights. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Now, a powerful statement. Material civilization without blessing of the Lord is child's play only. So all of our civilization, downtown, 80-storied building, 40-storied building, all of that is only child's play. So just like building Lego blocks. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it's all right. But as soon as the parents withdraw, the child has to stop. For example, there is a tsunami, or you know, we are on a fault line. If there is earthquake, all of your Lego blocks will come down, tuck, 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 tuck. Again, same old story. You'll have to go and build carts. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. Dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without the blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. So you may do all of your big buildings and all of your computers and you know, all of our you know, special certifications we have. It's all decoration on the dead body unless there is blessing of that supreme. It is said here that a dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter or ghee on ashes, accumulation of money by magic wand, and I stopped there. The third one is basically seeds on a barren land. So here I listened to His Holiness Rompan Maharaj and His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. There are a few, I covered some points from Rompan Maharaj earlier. I'll cover a few points by Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He's very, very powerful on this particular verse. He says, to sustain in Krishna consciousness, you have to use everything in Krishna service. And we see that on a day-to-day basis, right? Some weeks we do some things in the proper authorized manner and we see the result. And some weeks we don't, and we see that everything is getting withdrawn, we lose that satisfaction in the heart. At least I have seen it, because I am going up and down like that. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And pride cometh before the fall. So first comes the pride, and then comes the fall. One who is particularly favored by the Lord takes away all the material facilities. So in a way, material impoverishment is a stepping stone for spiritual surrender. So somebody may say, oh, you know, I don't have anything, how can I serve the Lord? Actually, it might be a good thing. Gradual taking away of your things might be a good thing, because it allows for surrender. And the verse that we recite every morning, na sundanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisa kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahetu kitavai. So basically all we are saying is, birth after birth we want to serve you. There is no trade. And elsewhere Maharaj says, if there is a trade, which means you are building your next life. If you want to do trade with the Lord, if you want something back, means you are building your next life. If you don't want anything, then there is a chance for that liberation. And then Bhaktosmi Sakha Cheti. So devotees of Krishna, devotion increases as years go by. And we should see that actually. We should have that devotion increase as the years go by. So some or the other, we get firmly attached to Krishna. So if we continue to do the satisfaction of body and senses, okay, I want this body to be much more better, like I do most of the time, and then senses, we have been doing this for life after life, and it has not taken us anywhere. At some point, we need that highest satisfaction, which is the love of God. Love of the God is the only highest satisfaction. How do we know? Because even in this lifetime, we have done so many things, and it hasn't brought us any satisfaction. That's why we are here in this room, hoping to get that love of God and the higher satisfaction. So why most of the religions are failing together today, Maharaj says. Most followers claim to be followers without actually adhering to the teachings. Yes, I am this ism, I am this ianity or that ianity. Right? Whether it's Hinduism or Christianity or Islam. Yes, I am this. But you are not following the teachings. So following the teachings means following the spiritual master. Coming back to my point earlier, the president directly does not control the country. So president has some representatives to control the country. In the same way, the Supreme Lord has his representatives through which we can attain to him. Some people say, oh, this process did not work. I've been doing this for X number of years. No, but where is the determined effort? It's not just effort, determined effort. the key point I liked very much was Krishna tests by withholding the ecstasy. So periodically you will have like a lot of asam, everything is going well, he withdraws. Just like he withdrew Arjuna's powers when he was taking all the queens of Krishna. A small set of cowherd boys can actually defeat him. So he does that to increase our desire, because if we are sincere devotees, we don't waver for sense gratification. And if we are insincere, we want little bit of Krishna, little bit of sense gratification, and going back and forth. So Krishna tests by withholding, right? I experienced that yesterday. So normally my discover yourself is going well. So I'm so great, this, that, right? Yesterday not a single student showed up. Everybody's gone. He said, okay, you think you are so good? Okay, and there are no students. What will you do? Right? So there is a war within us all the time between sense gratification and serving Krishna. It's a constant battle going on. Like, you know, last week I was in cruise. So that was a week of sense gratification. Hopefully this week will be week of Krishna. Like that, no? There's a constant war going on between these two different fronts. So how do we fix this? So he also gives a solution. Hear better. Not just hear, but hear better. And then the instructions of spiritual master are actually instructions of Krishna. So Krishna will not come and tell you directly, but the spiritual master will come and tell you. So when Lord withdrew his mercy, Arjuna felt no reason for existence. So he said, oh, what do I do now? He could not defend himself against some ruffian farmers. This is exactly what will happen to us if we lose our connection with the spiritual master. All of our abilities, whether we are a great teacher, book distributor, great email writers, building big temples or whatever, they'll all be lost. And even physically we'll look dark and dull. And our intelligence, which was previously with Krishna, becomes ordinary. It was ordinary before, it became extraordinary, and it will become ordinary again if we lose our connection with the spiritual master. So Maharaj is like so powerful and thundering on this particular verse. Never lose connection to spiritual master, otherwise we will lose enthusiasm. So our enthusiasm comes from that. Spiritual masters, it's not just master. For example, I'm you know, quoting from a spiritual master who I've not even seen, right? Yeah. But his vani is so powerful that still makes sense. So Krishna consciousness is spread by empowered individuals. And such individuals need to have purity. Arjuna did astounding things on the battlefield, defeating people like Bhishma, which is impossible practically. First of all, whatever tricks he had, he learned from his grandfather, and there is no question of defeating his grandfather. And grandfather could not be killed in any case. Right? He'll only die when he wants to die. So where is the question of defeating him? So Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna conscious movement in a way no one can imagine. In the same way, if you want to use the body in the service of the Lord, we need to prepare that body. So right now our body is not prepared. We need to prepare our body in the service of the Lord. So purify the sense of seeing, for example, by looking at things in relation to Krishna. So Shiva, Lord Shiva tells Parvati Devi, Tadiyam Samacharam. So which means, how do you, basically everything in the relationship with Krishna is the best type of worship. Everything in relationship to Krishna, not just Krishna. And he also cautions just sitting in the temple. So you have to go out and do your thing. Take the word out. So father is pleased when child is pleased. So therefore serve the representative of the Lord, in which case the spiritual masters. And Prabhupada concludes the purport by using the term yoga karmasu kaushalam. Means yoga, make work as yoga. Work is work, but how do you make it as yoga? By dovetailing it with the Supreme Lord, which then becomes as good as contacting the Lord directly. So when you make work as yoga, then it is like you are touching the Lord directly. And he concludes by saying, always be willing to take advice. Even though you are a very, very senior person, always take advice. Practical advice is given by Krishna or the spiritual master. The world needs proper guidance. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated specific part of the Vedas. And only the most important. He didn't go after the whole Vedic. Only the things that are necessary. He wanted to create a society of Brahmins to lead the society. Because of society of Brahmins or Rajarshis who have the Brahminical qualities can lead this. So today everybody is a Shudra, therefore he had to reinstate a set of people. Not everybody will become, you know, Vaishnavas. But Vaishnavas as leaders will actually be able to take. This point did not strike to me until this morning when I heard his lecture. So, why do you need ISKCON? So that we have a society of Vaishnavas, be they be a king, be they an administrator, or a politician even, to lead the society, because they don't know the principles. So if Shudra leads, then where is the question? Actually, the current Shudras are giving trouble to the people of the Brahminical culture. So where is the question of it being reinstated? And everything should be offered to the Lord. That's the will of the Lord. If you start making deals with God, then we get another birth. So whenever you say, that is Karma Yoga actually says. If I say, I did the 3 Ekadasis, therefore you should give me promotion. Therefore that is a trade with the Lord. So Krishna doesn't say act, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, how many times takshrinu, here. So Maharaj says here, first here. Some people think hearing is a waste of time. No, first here, then act. First here, understand and then act. Krishna actually, till the end, he never says, do something quickly. He keeps saying here, this is the thing, this is Karma Yoga, this is Jnana Yoga, this is Bhakti Yoga, this is how my devotees are, these are the modes of material nature, this. And finally he says, you decide. He doesn't say, you follow, you decide. So hearing about transcendental knowledge, like you are doing and like I am doing now, is a service of the part to the whole. So we are parts and parcels of Krishna. So by hearing about him, we are actually serving him. So hearing is a service, Rompath Maharaj also says. So one day he said, what happens suppose this temple vanishes tomorrow? Due to some reason, right? Some lawsuit, something like that, you know. What happens? You still have your service. Even if all of your services go away, what is that? Hearing and chanting. That is your service. Service of the part to the whole. So today we are lucky we have a big temple, but it's not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. So, and he also says the physician should be healthy. For example, you go to a doctor. Doctor, I'm having cough. The doctor comes, oh, what can I do? I also have cough. Then, you know, is there a solution? First, physician should be healthy. So, you're all physicians. You should be healthy in your Krishna consciousness so that we can give it to others. Right? Make sense? Rajam Svayanu Prusthanam Subhrudam Nasuhutpure Viprasapa Vimudhanam Niganatam Mustibirmita Varunim Madiram Pitva Maduramatita Chetasam Ajanatam Ivano Yanayam Chatupashyavashishitaha. O King, since you have asked me about our friends and relatives in the city of Dwaraka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmanas, and as a result, they have all become intoxicated with my wine made of putrefied rice and fought among themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now, all but 4 or 5 of them are dead and gone. This is a beautiful picture. One of our transcendentalist artists, Aniruddha. Who is the other person? They also go away in that battle. Two of his sons also go away in that battle. I don't recall exactly. Anyway, they are fighting with the sticks. So there's
the
two.
One in blue body is Aniruddha.
I think so. That I want a clarification from you.
One who looks like Krishna.
Yeah, he must be.
Like Krishna.
Yeah, he looks like Krishna actually. Some of his sons look directly like him. Actually, in the spiritual world, everybody is 400 and everybody looks like the Lord.
What is it?
I'm confused.
Anyway, this is a picture made by our devotees.
Yeah.
So it is bona fide. We just need to research a little further to know who they are. The purport doesn't provide that level of detail. Krishna and Balram, I don't think they did not fight in that battle. No,
Krishna,
they are not
there.
They were outside. Yeah, it is all his arrangement, right? So they go out. These people go to the ocean front. That's where the reeds come out. They take the reeds and start beating each other.
Definitely, they're using sticks and all that.
Yeah, those are reeds basically that come from the water.
But they are having iron. That was not
just ordinary. Yeah,
not ordinary sticks. Because that was a fish.
That
came within from the ocean that came.
They dump it into the ocean, that iron thing, and then that disintegrates, and then each one becomes a little rod. Okay, let's continue.
प्रायेनैतात् भगवता ईश्वरस्य विचेष्टितं मितो निघ्नाति भूतानि भाव्यन्ति च यन्मिता.
Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another and sometimes they protect one another. So where else do you see this example? World War II, right? Prabhupada says somewhere that, you know, one demon is killing the other demon. All these wars are caused on account of Krishna's plan.
Riots in India.
Yeah. So many things are happening. Sometimes people kill one another and sometimes they protect one another. Will of the Lord. So surrender to the will of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says, anthropologists normally think that there is nature's law of struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. Behind the law of nature is the supreme direction of the supreme personality of Godhead. So what are the famous anthropologists who made these statements? Malthus, Malthusian theory of population. So Malthus basically said, whenever this population increases in one area, there will be a lot of wars and then people will die and then the population will come down. So he was giving some crazy examples like the famine in Calcutta when 1 lakh people died and so on. Right? But that famine was caused by the British. So it's not like, so one way or the other, it is ultimately caused by the Supreme Lord. So Darwinism, is such a bad theory, because you remember, basically they said there's a crawling of the fish. They become amphibian. They crawled out of the ocean and then they came to the land. So in Metobian era, which is 325 million years ago, they said that this particular kind of coelacanth, C-E-L-E-O-C-A-N-T-H, you can look it up on the internet, it crawled from the water, came to the ground, and then it became amphibian, it became crocodile, this and that. That's how the theory goes. And recently, 1938, they found that species still exists. So the species never went extinct. So that proves Darwin's theory as wrong. 325 million years later, the species still exists. And recently they found one. It's a pretty big thing. I have it a picture on my other laptop, actually. It's in my, I'll show it to you after the class. So a lot of these anthropologists make some vague statements without knowing anything, and then some other scientist comes and disproves them. So Srila Prabhupada quotes two verses in this context. Maya dekshana prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunarena kaunteya jagat viparivartate and sarvayonesha kaunteya murtaya sambhavaya sambhavantiya tesham Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapitaha. So in the 9th and purport, Prabhupada says all these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attached to the material creation. He simply glances on our material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. And the same is true of everything is annihilated. So proving the anthropologists wrong. And he is the seed giving father. So it's not like the population grows or comes down based on some mundane law. So, and Srila Prabhupada further elaborates, whenever therefore there is peace in this world, it must be known that it is due to the good will of the Lord. And whenever there is upheaval in the world, it is also due to the supreme will of the Lord. So, people try to take, their 60x zoom lenses and go take pictures in Iraq and this and put on newspapers. What are you going to do with it? It is the supreme will of the Lord. When it has to happen, it will happen. When it has to annihilate, it will annihilate. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Whenever therefore there is disobedience of established rules enacted by the Lord, there is war between men and nations. So the reason for war between men and nations is because of the disobedience of established rules of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada in his famous 1978 lecture, the peace formula, he says the same thing. Right? Yes. The peace, you cannot achieve peace through United Nations. There have been more wars since United Nations has come into picture. Peace can come by following the principles of God, which are being broken. And then immediately comes Joe mediating, because that's the first principle is being broken. And very obvious principle. Killing, slaughtering of millions of animals is causing lack of that peace in elsewhere, in other part of the world. And in one of the lectures, my guru had said once, New Orleans, right? There was a lot of flood. And they were, you know, what they were giving to all the people who were stranded? Canned beef. So he was saying, this canned beef is the cause of that New Orleans thing. And you are giving them again the same thing. The surest way to path of peace, therefore, is dovetailing everything to the established rule of the Lord. Not just vaguely talking about Lord. So, Ramakrishna Maharaj says very clearly in his thing, God, you have given me so much money. I will use it in your service, but I'll keep it in my bank account. That's not what Krishna wants. Krishna has a bank account. You transfer this to his account. And then you talk like that. So it's not like, no, I'm a devotee, you know. I will use it in your service. I'll keep it in my bank account. No. So put it in Krishna's bank account. Like you do. Balram Lila does that. Periodically gives $10,000 checks.
Quarterly?
That is happening actually. It's coming. The established rule. So what is this established rule? He's already clearly saying. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we sacrifice, and whatever we give in charity must be done to the full satisfaction of the Lord. Right? So, whatever we do, suppose I go on a cruise, how is it satisfying the Lord? So, we have to ask those questions. Yat karoshi yat yadnashi yat juhosi dadasi yat.
You should tell us.
It doesn't. It doesn't. That's my point.
to preach to the people in the ship.
Yeah. I mean, I tried my best to talk about Hare Krishna, but people were in so much. The sense gratification is 20x on a cruise. You are away from family, away from the society, on a boat. You are totally free, right? So people drink continuously.
Yeah, that's what they're there for.
So, no? But recently I met one lady from Ghana. I was telling the Kingston, like in the 216, I get off at that international district. I was coming on the escalator. So she took the elevator, so I ran into the elevator. I said, where are you from? This, that. And I said, Hare Krishna. She said, Hare Krishna, yeah, I want to go to India. How many times you'll find people like that? So it is possible, right? There are people like that. So Prabhupada says, discretion is the better part of valor, and one must learn, I have only 7 minutes to go, one must learn how to discriminate between actions which may be pleasing to Lord and those which may not be pleasing to Lord. Which may be pleasing versus not pleasing. An action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. There is no room for personal whims. Whenever Harulas Prabhu was saying, whenever you say I think means you are nonsense. Don't think. It is there in the book. Follow.
He says, I think, we think, you think, we all stink.
Such action, dovetailed with the interest of the Lord, by following the instructions of his spiritual master, is called Yoga Karmasya Kaushalam, or actions that are linked to the Supreme Lord. That is the art of doing things perfectly. If you want to do things perfectly, if I want to do things perfectly, we should follow that direction of the spiritual master. So, my realizations, when we speak or act, we should think, what does Krishna want, or Guru Maharaj wants, or the founder Acharya wants in this situation? We should always think in those lines. And if in doubt, ask the Sangha of Vaishnavas. Let's read.
Jalaukasam jale Mahanto Danti Anishyasa Durbalan Balino Rajan Mahanto Balino Mita Evam Balister Yadubir Madhabir Itaran Vibhu Yadu Yadubir Anonyam Buharan Sasrajara.
Walking as in the ocean, the bigger and stronger aquatic swallow up the smaller and weaker ones. So also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to kill the bigger Yadu to kill the smaller. And of course, our acharyas give the description that all of these people were the eternal associates of the Lord, so they had to return back. So this is just a simple material perspective that they killed each other. But the key point to note here, and some of my realizations, I know I'm running out of time, there is struggle for existence, survival of fittest, right? And there is disparity between conditioned souls due to everyone's desire to lord it over material resources. So everybody wants that BMW. Now what is going to happen? Some people will end up with Civic and some people will end up with a bullock cart. See, Goldman Sachs, they jacked up the price of oil, they raised it to a point. Now all the airlines, they bought futures, assuming that the price of oil will go further up. Then suddenly the price of oil fell down. All the airline companies lost money. So there is a battle between the smart and the smarter and the smartest. This constant battle going on in this material world. What can you do? And then creation of virtual wealth in the materially advanced nations sucks natural resources from other nations. For example, we write a piece of software called Windows. We sell it for $199. For $199, the country called Colombia has to sell you 200 bags of sugar, 200 pounds of sugar. Right? So, with the effect that now in Colombia, there are no bananas left. All of the Americans are sucking out all the bananas. They're giving them Coca-Cola and they're giving them Windows software and iPads. With the result that there are no bananas in Colombia for kids to eat. So we are sucking away, actually, we are the culprits. We are sucking away all the resources of the world by creating virtual wealth. So the very mentality of lording over material nature is the root cause of conditioned life. And to give facility to such imitation lords, the illusory energy of the Lord has created a disparity. So who created the disparity? Mayadevi created the disparity between the conditioned livings by creating the stronger and weaker in every species of life. The mentality of lording it over material nature and the creation of natural has naturally created a disparity and therefore the struggle for existence. And this will continue. This won't stop. So Rompath Maharaj's formula was, say goodbye to the material show. Enough is enough. No more material show. Easy? Not so easy. But it's possible. In the spiritual world, there is no such struggle for existence because everyone exists eternally. There is no disparity between because everyone wants to render service to the Supreme Lord. And no one wants to imitate in the Lord in becoming the beneficiary. Because they are not thinking, I want something there in the spiritual world. Okay, the Lord is there, we'll all serve. Okay, somebody wants to make this type of garland. Okay, maybe I should provide them with a flower or a thread or at least some soothing words. So, cooperating for the service of the Lord. Here it's all about not cooperating. The Lord being the creator of everything, including the living beings, factually is the proprietor and enjoyer of everything that be. But in the material world, by spell of Maya, the eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is forgotten. So, the living being is conditioned under the law of struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. So, survival of fittest, the principle can be negated in one moment by doing what? Everyone wants to render service to the Supreme Lord. That's the line. So, if you're serving the Supreme Lord without competing again. Now, this term transcendental competition is kind of overused. Why do you need to compete? There's so much service to be done. Like I came one day, Harulas Prabhu was like cleaning the floor. There's nobody else to clean the floor. There are so many devotees, right?
Yeah, like the Narang Prabhu said about lectures, the planes to Vaikuntha are going empty, so it's planes to Vaikuntha are going empty. There's not competition.
There's no competition, exactly. So all of our competition is in here only, right? Who has the bigger house?
No.
Who has the bigger car? Good point. So here's the summary and I'll conclude in a minute. So Arjuna remembers his day-to-day dealings with Krishna. Krishna excuses Arjuna. Upon Krishna's departure, and the Arjuna, the Gandiva bearer, cannot resist a simple group of cowherd men. In the absence of Lord Krishna, all Arjuna's powers have become in a moment's notice null and void. The friends and relatives in the city of Dwarka were cursed by the Brahmanas. They become intoxicated, kill each other. Key point to note, everything happens with the will of the Lord to lighten the burden of earth. The Supreme Personality engages people in fighting each other and killing each other. So ultimately, everything is being done by the Lord. Hare Krishna.